Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, class verse 4.21.52 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Yeah. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I will now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. So let's start this class with Mangalacharan. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshalun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sagunarunatam Tam Sajivam Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminath Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatare Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Krishna. So welcome all devotees for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Grateful to all of you for allowing me to make a presentation on Srimad Bhagavatam. The text given is from 4th canto, 21st chapter, shloka number 52nd. The shloka goes like this. Namo vriddha satvaya purushaya mahiyase yo brahma kshatramavishya vibhartidam svatejasa. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation is, Dear Lord, you are situated in your pure existential position of goodness. Therefore, you are the perfect representative of the Supreme Lord. You are glorified by your own prowess, and thus you are maintaining the entire world by introducing Brahminical culture and protecting everyone in your line of duty as Kshatriya. Purport. Without the spread of Brahminical culture and without proper protection from government, no social standard can be maintained properly. This is admitted in this verse by the citizens of Maharaj Prithu, who could maintain the wonderful situation of government, of his government, due to his position in pure goodness. The word Vriddha Satvaya is significant. In this material world, there are three qualities, namely goodness, passion and ignorance. One has to be raised from the platform of ignorance to platform of goodness by devotional service. There is no other means for elevating one from the lowest stage of life to the highest stage but the execution of devotional service, as advised in the previous chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can raise himself from the lowest position to the highest simply by associating with devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly from their mouths. Shrinavata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Hridayantastu Yavadrani Vidunoti Suratsatam. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1-17. In the gradual cleansing process, one is relieved of the influence of passion and ignorance and situated on the platform of goodness. The result of association with the qualities of passion and ignorance is that one becomes lusty and greedy. But when one is elevated to the platform of goodness, he is satisfied in any condition of life and is without lust and greed. This mentality indicates one's situation on the platform of goodness. One has to transcend this goodness and raise himself to pure goodness called as Vriddha Sattva or advanced stage of goodness. In advanced stage of goodness, one can become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Maharaj Prithu is addressed here as Vriddha Sattva or one who is situated in the transcendental position. But Maharaj Prithu, although situated in the transcendental position of a pure devotee, came down to the position of Brahmana and Kshatriya for the benefit of human society and thus gave protection to the entire world by his personal prowess. although he was a king, a kshatriya, although he was a king, because he was a Vaishnava, he was also a Brahmana. As a Brahmana, he could give proper instruction to the citizens, and as a kshatriya, he could rightly give protection to all of them. Thus, the citizens of Maharaj Prithu were protected in all respects by the perfect king. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 4th canto, 21st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, instructions by Prithu Maharaj. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all devotees. We're grateful to all of you for giving the service in the month of Kartik. So this is the concluding shloka of this chapter entitled Instructions by Prithu Maharaj to the Citizens. So in the last chapter we saw that Lord Vishnu, who is very difficult to be seen by this material senses, appeared before all those who were present in the yajna of Prithu Maharaj. So why did Lord Vishnu appear there? Because he was pleased by the behavior of Prithu Maharaj. When Lord Vishnu appeared in the arena of Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice, Lord Vishnu tells Prithu Maharaj that I have got Indra here to be forgiven by you. When Lord Vishnu says that I have got him so that you can forgive him, that means Lord Vishnu is indirectly telling Prithu Maharaj that you have to forgive Indra. Now if we see the entire episode, there was absolutely no mistake on part of Prithu Maharaj. But still, Lord Vishnu expected Prithu Maharaj to forgive Indra. Why? Because Lord Vishnu says that this is the test of your qualities. Any person, if he has to check his spiritual progress, then how, what strength he has got to keep aside his envy for others, that will determine his progress. And that is where Shukdev Goswami says that keeping aside his envy to Indra, Devaraj Indra, he embraced Indra and he forgave whatever misdeeds he has done. And that is where Shukdev Goswami says, Varamcha mat kanchana manavendra vrishneshvateham gunashila yantrita. And when the Lord sees that Prithu Maharaj has forgiven Indra, then the Lord says, vrishneshvateham gunashila yantrita. That see, Prithu Maharaj, I am not conquered by your opulence or your power or your strength, but guna shila yantrita. Yantrita means captured or captivated. What am I captivated by? Your guna, your characteristics, your shila, your character, various qualities and your character. That is what has attracted me to you. Naham makheva sulabas tapobhi. He is saying, I am not at all attracted by all the yajnas that you have done, the 99 yajnas that you have done. Sulabas tapobi, neither all the tapasya that you have performed. Yogena va yat samachitta varti. He is saying by the samachitta varti, the attitude of being equipoised in all situations. Samachitta varti. Varti means your behavior. He is saying by the behavior that you have shown of being equipoised under all situations, that is what has captured my mind, and not all the great sacrifices that you have performed. Gunashila yantrita, and your characters and your various qualities, that is what is controlling me. This is what Lord Vishnu says. And when this happens, Prithu Maharaj offers his prayers to the Lord and thanks him for coming to the yajna. And then at the end of his prayers, Prithu Maharaj tells Lord Vishnu that, my dear Lord, usually it is seen that whenever you appear somewhere, it is like a norm. It is compulsory for all those who get your darshan that you have to ask something from Lord Vishnu. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that whenever Lord Chaitanya is very pleased with his associate, he is always saying that, please ask for some benediction. In Kolavich series pastimes also, we see that he is telling Kolavich Sridhar that you ask something from me, but Kolavich Sridhar says, I don't want anything from you, my Lord. But the Lord is so insistent to Kolavich Sridhar. That is where Kolavich Sridhar asks, that give me the benediction, my Lord, that you come every day like that same small boy and you have a fight with me for 2 hours. Fight on what price should I sell the banana leaves at. And the same thing happens with Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj says that, I don't want anything. But I know, my Lord, that you will force me to ask something. But he says that give me what is best for me. You are like a father who, as soon as he knows the needs of his son, before the son asks, he will provide it for the son. You are that kind of a father. So, my Lord, if at all you want to give me something, give me that is what is best for me. So, we'll take this part where Prithu Maharaj is asking, what is best for me? And then we'll continue it back in the session. So, when Prithu Maharaj is asking, give me what is best, then Lord Vishnu says that I give you my loving devotional service. And then he bestows his bhakti upon Lord, upon Prithu Maharaj, and he says that please continue protecting the citizens in the way I have told you. And Lord has given certain instructions to Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj is the Shaktyavesh avatar of Lord Vishnu. And when the Lord says this, the Lord leaves, and along with the Lord, the demigods who have come there, they also leave, and Prithu Maharaj now returns back to his capital. And as soon as Prithu Maharaj enters his capital, there is a grand welcome that is given to him by citizens. Now somebody may ask, why such a grand welcome? The reason is very obvious, because what kind of feat he had achieved was very rare and not achieved by anyone, or achieved by very few people. And it is so obvious that sometimes when we see, you know, it's time for election here in India. As soon as some person wins some election or he gets a post, and for 5 years, everybody is struggling to get that post, doing so many things, but only one gets. And one who gets it, everybody is singing his glories, because now he'll be taking on that position. He'll get so many benefits, so many perks, and so many powers. So now when the citizens see that their master, their king, has, by his own prowess, has made Lord Vishnu appear in the sacrificial arena, and whoever was there in the sacrificial arena got the darshan of Lord Vishnu. So that was the kind of feat their king had achieved, and so they were so happy that they gave a very grand welcome to Prithu Maharaj. And then Prithu Maharaj enters his kingdom, and after that everybody is happy, everybody is doing their duties. And after a while, one day, Prithu Maharaj decides again to do one sacrifice for the benefit, welfare of the citizens. And for that sacrifice, all the demigods are invited. All the great rishis, demigods, top class brahmanas, everybody is invited. And in that arena where all these great personalities are assembled, Prithu Maharaj enters that arena. And as soon as Prithu Maharaj enters that arena, Shukdev Goswami compares the entry of Prithu Maharaj. He says he was exactly just like the moon arising among thousands of stars. So he's comparing Prithu Maharaj to the full moon, who is there with all his grandeur and his brightness. And as soon as he enters, all others who are there in the arena seem so small, just like stars are compared to the moon. But on the contrary, we also see that there is same instance of this kind has taken place before this, in the fourth canto itself. When Daksha Prajapati enters the arena by the strength of his tapasya, the same situation is there. All the demigods are there. Lord Brahma himself is there. Lord Shiva is there. Keeping Lord Shiva and Brahma aside, all the demigods who were assembled there seemed exactly like small stars when Daksha enters. But there is a huge difference between the comparison that Shukdev Goswami is doing here for Prithu Maharaj, and that he has done in the previous chapters in fourth canto for Daksha Prajapati. For Daksha Prajapati, he was so proud, that pride in him covered up all his good qualities. But here, Prabhupada gives a very wonderful analogy for Prithu Maharaj. He says, Prithu Maharaj was just like a tree which was laden with fruits. And when a tree is laden with fruits and flowers, it automatically bows down. There were so many wonderful qualities in Prithu Maharaj that as soon as he entered, everybody was happy. And this is where he is compared with the full moon amongst the stars. But whereas on the contrary, we see that Daksha had so much of envy for Lord Shiva that all his good qualities were covered. And then we see that Prithu Maharaj enters the assembly in which all the great demigods and qualified brahmanas are sitting there. And then Prithu Maharaj addresses the whole assembly. And how Prithu Maharaj addresses the assembly is what Shukdev Goswami says. He says, Charu Chitra Padam Slashna Mrishta Gudam Vichambama Sarvesham Upakararta Tada Anuvad An Iva. He is saying, how was this speech of Prithu Maharaj? Prithu Maharaj's speech was Charu. It was very beautiful. Chitra Padam. Chitra Padam means it was full of metaphors. Slakshna. It was clearly understood. It was not that what he wanted to say was different and what he was speaking was different. It was clearly understood that yes, he is speaking with this purpose. And how it was? Mrishta. It was very pleasing to hear. Guda. How it was? It was very grave. His vacha, his speech. It was very grave and certain. Everybody could check out what he was speaking. And how he was speaking? Sarvesham upakararta. He was speaking as a upkar. He was speaking for the benefit of all the assembled people. Tad anuvad. He was speaking from his personal realization. He had some realization about the supreme truth, and that is what he was presenting for the benefit of all those who are assembled there. In modern times also we see that there are so many politicians who also give a speech and which is highly appreciated by the general people. Just like we have John F. Kennedy, when he became the 35th President of America on Jan 20, 1961. So that speech has become so popular, and one line, one statement from that speech actually captivated the heart of those 25,000-30,000 people who were there for this speech, who attended the speech. He said, ask not what the nation can do for you, ask what you can do for the nation. This one line captivated everyone. But if we see, even though it captivated, it was full of some beautiful language, but it may be very pleasing also for that time, but it was not certain. Why? Because that time America was going through a very different phase. This is in 61, and we see that in 66 Prabhupada came, and 66 was called as the hippie revolution in America. So what he was trying was exactly to try to win the minds of the people. He was trying to stay calm, but inside he knew that the situation in America is totally different. His message was actually to inspire the nation, but inside he knew that it was signaling challenges that were coming ahead, especially in hope for peace in nuclear age. That was the time when all the nuclear weapons started getting built up. And at that time, America was in war with Soviet Union, especially over the space race and nuclear arms competition that was happening between Soviet Union and America. And he was so confident and so competent that he won the hearts of all the people. But it was only after 2 or 3 years that he got killed. And all the hope he could generate in the people were wiped out, and the entire American community was in a very difficult phase after JFK left. But this is not the case with Prithu Maharaj. He was absolutely clear in what he wanted to say, and people were also certain that yes, what he is presenting will take up space. And the best part was he was speaking based on his personal realization, anuvad. He had personal realization. He had personally seen the Supreme Lord. He had personally witnessed. And that is on that realization he said that I can create a great revolution. But here we don't see all these things in this modern day people who have taken a very great position. And then Prithu Maharaj, when he starts speaking, his speech was like nectar. That is what Shukdev Goswami says. Now somebody may ask a question, why his speech was so nectarian? So this is exactly answered in the previous chapter where he says na kamaye nata tadapyam kwachin na yatra yushma charanambujasava. He says that my lord, those people who have held your lotus feet in their heart, charana ambuja asava, there is a nectar that is flowing from your lotus feet, and that same nectar comes out from those who speak about you or those who represent you. And the next shloka is sa uttama shloka mahan mukachyuto bhavat pajam boj sudha kana nilay. Again the same thing is saying bhavat padam boj sudha. Sudha is what? Nectar. Kana nila, the particles of that nectar come out from the devotees who speak about you. So there is one nice shloka that comes in Shubhashit. I was hearing one lecture, and that devotee was wonderfully quoting this, that where does actual nectar lie? So there is always a difference of opinion in people that where actual nectar is available. So the shloka says, avadho vidho. He is saying that we feel that it is available in avadho, means Mahasagar. In the 8th canto, we see that there is this Samudra Manthan Leela, and we see that there is nectar that is coming out of it. So some say avadho, some say vidho. Vidho means Chandra, because in Chandra there is Soma Rasa, and by that juice, we get the taste in our leaves, leafy vegetables, in grasses of different sorts. So some say it is there in the Mahasagar, avadho, some say it is the moon. But some say, no, it is not there in these two places. They say, vadhu mukhe, the actual nectar is available in the face of a beautiful woman. Some say, no, it is not there in these three places. Then where it is? Faninam nivasa, he says, there it is there in the people who stay in the sarpaloka, in the bilaswarga. Because when Bhimsen was thrown in the water, he went to the nagalokas. And in the nagalokas, he drank lots and lots of amrut, and that is how he got the strength of 10,000 elephants. So some say Paninam Nivas is there in the planet of the serpents. And some say Swarge. If you go to Swargaloka, then every day there is party of amrut that is taking place. But is this all true? Avdav vidho vadumukhe paninam nivase swarge sudha vasiti vai vibudhai vadanti. The scholar says that in this five places there is nectar that is available, amrut that is available. But if amrut is available in all these five places, but it doesn't seem so, then somebody may ask why. Then he is saying sharam. If amrut is available in the Mahasagar, then why there is kshar? Why it is so salty? That means there is no nectar there in the ocean. Then he says, what is the problem with vidho, that is Chandra? He says, kshayam, kshaaram, kshayam. Kshayam means, if there is amrut in the moon planet, Somaras, if it is there, then why it is waning and waxing? Why it is reducing and growing again and again? That means it is not there also. Then somebody may say, why not in Vadumukhe, in the beautiful face of a woman? Patimritam, if nectar is there, amrit is there in the face of a beautiful woman, then by that influence of nectar, her husband should have stayed long life. But we say, he is saying patimritam, that husband is dying, Baba. So there is no amrit there also. Paninam nivase, then is it there in the sarpaloka? If sarpaloka there is amrit, then why is there poison in the snakes? Garalam, garal is poison. If it is there in that loka, that means it has to be there also in the people also. But it is not seen, because all the snakes, most of the snakes are poisonous. That means it is also not there. And why not in the swarga? Because Bhagavad Gita says, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. If it is there in the swarga, then why do people fall from swarga and come back to the earth? Then somebody may question, then Baba, where actually is this nectar? He says, Kante Sudha Vasitivai Bhagavat Jananam. It is there in the heart, in the throat of the Bhagavat Jana who carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their heart. And this is the same thing that Prithu Maharaj is saying. It is there in the hearts of the pure devotees who carry the Supreme Lord in their heart, because Sudha, that Sudha is available in the lotus feet of the Lord. So now in this shloka, where we come, in the 52nd shloka, here Prithu Maharaj is addressing the Brahmanas. Now somebody may question, if Prithu Maharaj is a Kshatriya, how can he instruct his superior over the Brahmanas? Prabhupada makes it very clear that although he was a Kshatriya, more than a Kshatriya, he was a top class Vaishnava. And when you say that somebody is a Vaishnava, means he already is a Brahmana. So since he was a Brahmana, he could also instruct the Brahmanas. And since he was a Kshatriya, he could also protect and instruct his citizens. Now the question arises, what did Prithu Maharaj instruct his citizens? So I'll take only one shloka, because that is where the entire essence is tried to cover, is been given. This is shloka number 30, where Prithu Maharaj is saying that why everybody should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu only, and why not anybody else? So he is saying the only person who gives the desired result of any activity is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You do yajna, you do dana, you do tapa, or any karma or any activity you do, that result is exclusively given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and nobody else. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur then quotes this shloka, two shlokas from 11th canto, 20th chapter, 32nd and 33rd shloka, where he is saying, yat karma bir yat tapasa, even if you are performing karma, yat tapasa, if you are performing tapasya, jnana vairagya yatascha yat, if you are performing, you are doing jnana, or you are trying to acquire a lot of knowledge, or if you are a strong and determined renunciate, vairagya, yogena dhanena dharmena, if you are doing any sort of yoga, if you are doing any dana, giving charity, or if you are following any dharmena, shreyo bhir itarais api. But this is not the shreya, this is not the topmost thing. And what is the topmost thing? Sarvam mad bhakti yogena mad bhakto labhate anjasa. If any devotee, this is Lord Vishnu saying, this is Lord Krishna saying in the Uddhava Gita. Krishna is saying, sarvam mad bhakti yogena, if you perform mad bhakti, if you perform devotional service to me, mad bhakto labhate anjasa, all the fruits of all the activities, jnana, vairagya, yoga, dana, dharma, anything, karma, tapasya, everything my devotee gets. How? Does it take a long time? No, anjasa, he gets it very quickly. So somebody may question, so is it possible that he may get swarga also? Swarga apavargam magdhama. Not only swarga or anything else, he comes back to my own planet, madhama kinchid yadi vanchati. Krishna is saying, it is easily available to my devotees if he is performing devotional service to me. And Prithu Maharaj, in his instruction, he is focusing on this one point. Prithu Maharaj is saying, you do anything, but only when you have contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, that is where things will start becoming pure, your existence will start becoming pure. That is what Prabhupada says in this purport. You come to the mode of goodness, and from goodness to pure goodness, that is Shuddha Sattva. That is exclusively possible only by the touch of Lord Vishnu. For example, in the 10th canto, there is this chapter of Garbhastuti. Now what is this Garbhastuti? Garbhastuti is the chapter where all the demigods, they assemble when Lord Krishna is in the womb of Mother Devaki. And all the demigods, they are offering prayers to the Garbha, the womb of Mother Devaki. But if you see on the contrary, any spiritual literature, may it be Bible, may it be Quran, may it be our Vedas, all of them, they say that this Garbha, or the place where the child is born, is the worst or the dirtiest of all the places. It is the most impure place. Now the question arises, if it is so impure, then what are all these 33 crore demigods, 33 koti of demigods doing there and standing and offering prayers to the Garbha? That is what Shukdev Goswami says. even if this is the impurest of the place, but the purest of all the persons is there, situated there, and that is why his, just his presence has made the entire existence of Mata Devaki pure. And Prabhupada uses these two words, that Krishna connection is like antiseptic and prophylactic. Antiseptic means if you have any kind of infection, it will be wiped out totally. And what is prophylactic action? Prophylactic action is that action where any further infection, if you are going to counter, it will be avoided under all circumstances. That is the prophylactic action, that is what we say. So when Krishna touch is given, what happens is there is an antiseptic and prophylactic action that takes place in the Krishna connection. So this Garbha is worshipped by all the demigods also. So the point is not that, most of the time devotees say that should we worship demigods or no. Demigod worship is official, it is a bona fide way to reach Krishna. But most of the time what's happened is, we do all this tapasya, just like in India we had, recently we had Navaratra, before that we had Durga Puja, before that we had Shivratri, and so many things continuously going on. But the point is, Prithu Maharaj wants to say, till the time you get the connection to Lord Vishnu, everything is a failure, is a total failure. So what we have to ask the demigods is that connection to the Supreme Lord Sri Hari. If we don't get that, then it is useless. Just like in Gujarat, in India, we have a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. His name was Narasimha Mehta. He was one of the pure devotees of Lord Krishna. So his story, his life story is, his father had two sons. He was the youngest. He had an elder brother also. And his father realized that this person is a very simple person, a very soft-hearted person. So he got him married as he grew. And he got him married, and then he had one daughter and he had one son. And then eventually Narasimha Mehta's daughter got married and she left the house. And in that time, his father also left, his mother also left, Narasimha Mehta's father, mother, they both left back. They went back to the spiritual world. And Narasimha Mehta used to work for his brother. He used to do simple household chores. He used to wash his house, clean his vehicles, every small activity, go to the farm, take care of the farm, all small activities. And his brother used to feed him something. And very meagerly he used to give him. And Narasimha Mehta was happy in his life, was satisfied. And when his father died, then his brother felt that, why I should give anything to him? He's such a simple person, he doesn't need anything. He can stay whole life like this. So that night, Narasimha Mehta's brother, he threw him out of the house at night time. And Narasimha Mehta, all of a sudden, he has no home, he has no shelter, he's feeling all hopeless. And he feels that, where should I go at this stage of point, at this stage of life? So he comes to understanding that there is a temple of Lord Shiva outside our village. So he goes there, he spends the night there. That night he doesn't get anything to eat. Next day, whole day he is fasting, because no one is there to ask him whether you need something. That day, whole day is fasting. Third day, he is there whole day just chanting, doing his whatever regular devotional activities he has been taught. And third day also is completely fasting. And at that point of time, after 3 days, I have completely fasted, nothing to eat. But he is not bothered. He is not feeling any sort of thing. That is where Mata Parvati, the temple, Lord Shiva and Mata Parvati, both deities are there. That is where Mata Parvati feels so much of pity for Narasimha Mehta, that she scolds Lord Shiva, that what kind of a father you are. I am Jagdamba, the mother of the entire creation. And if I am the mother, you are the father. What kind of a father you are, that this person is sitting hungry from 3 days and he has eaten nothing, not drank, he is constantly just chanting some names. Can't you pay some attention to him? And that is where Lord Shiva realizes that, yes, I have to do something for him. And that is where Lord Shiva goes and asks him, sir, you look very tired, you haven't 18 form, 3 days, is something that I can do for you. Now, kindly imagine a person, or take it for our own case, if they are hungry from 3 days and not eaten, and I don't know what kind of state of mind we would be in, and if Lord Shiva comes to us and asks, is there something that I can do for you? What would we have asked for? At least if you asked me, I would have asked, please feed me something so that I can survive first. Give me some water. But see, this person, Narasimha Mehta, is fasting from 3 days and eaten nothing. Then Lord Shiva comes to him. This is the most striking part of the story. He's asking Lord Shiva, my Lord, tell me, what is the best thing that you can offer me? And this question strikes Lord Shiva so badly, that till date nobody had asked him a question like this, that what is the best that you can offer me? Everybody who had done tapasya for Lord Shiva is asking, give me power, give me money, give me wealth, give me this, give me that. But here is the first person who is asking Lord Shiva, tell me what is the best that you can give me? And Lord Shiva is struck completely, and Mata Parvati is smiling, seeing Lord Shiva, now you are caught up. Now you have to give him what is the best that you have. And that is where Lord Shiva tells him that, yes, I can give you the best that is with me is Krishna Bhakti. And not only Krishna Bhakti, in that Krishna Bhakti, I can award you Vraja Bhakti, which is the rarest of the rare, which is not given to anybody so easily. And then Narasimha Mehta feels that I should experience what is Vraja Bhakti. And then Lord Shiva says that, okay, I'll give you a glimpse of it. I'll take you with me to my daily service in the Rasalila. In Rasalila, my duty is to, I am a Kshetrapal, I am the Kshetra Rakshak. Nobody can enter the Rasa Kshetra without my permission. So I will give you the glimpse of Rasalila. And then Lord Shiva takes him with him, and then they both, Lord Shiva changes his form, he becomes Gopeshwar Mahadev. And even this person, he is given a place, you sit here and watch the Rasalila. And when the Rasalila starts, and Narasimha Mehta is having the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the most enchanting personality, thousands and thousands of Kamdev can't match his beauty. And he is seeing the divine couple, Srimati Radharani and all the gopis, Lalita Devi, Vishakha Devi, and his totally struck with wonder, what is this that I am seeing? And as soon as he sees the beautiful Rasa Leela of the Lord, he starts crying and crying and crying, and all of a sudden there is a chaos in the Rasa Leela, and Lord Krishna doesn't understand what is happening. And then it is obviously, when something goes wrong, the master goes and asks the security person, who has entered, how this chaos is taking place. And Lord Shiva is asking Lord Krishna is asking Lord Shiva, who is this person? How did he come in? And then Lord Shiva tells him that he is Narasimha Mehta, and he, by my benediction, I have got him here to have darshan of the Rasalila. And then Lord Krishna embraces Narasimha Mehta, and he is so happy. His heart is filled with bliss and filled with joy and love for Krishna. And then Lord Krishna tells Narasimha Mehta, now that you have got our darshan, now you please return back to your place. And Narasimha Mehta is saying, no, my Lord, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to be here with you. Then the Lord says, no, I have some special service. You go and preach about Krishna Bhakti. So the point, the story that I'm telling here, the point is, demigods can offer connection to Krishna, but that is the thing that we never ask. We pray to Lord Shiva, we pray to Mata Durga, Mata Parvati. There is a story in South India where once a Brahmana son is that small baby, and that small baby, his mother has left her body, and the Brahmana has to feed the child. But that Brahmana is so engrossed in his bhajan that the child is crying and crying and crying for a long time. And his bhajan kutir is just beside the temple of Lord Shiva and Mata Parvati. So Mata Parvati feels so much of compassion for the child that she picks up the child and she starts feeding her own milk to that child. And eventually, as the child grows, he becomes a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. Can you imagine a person drinking the milk of Maa Durga? And what is he becoming? Is he becoming a Shaivite? Is he becoming a Shakta? Is he becoming a Ganapatya? No, he is becoming a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. The point is, what we have to ask from them is Krishna Bhakti. And this Krishna Bhakti is the rarest of the rare thing. But this Krishna Bhakti is available during the period of Kartik very easily. If you read Padma Purana, there are 19 chapters covering the glory of Kartik Mass. That what Kartik Mass can offer. Just like in America, we have this Thanksgiving. In Thanksgiving, the best of the products are available at the cheapest of the prices or at the lowest of the prices. Similarly, entire year, this topmost product of Krishna Bhakti is not available. It is exclusively available at a very simple price, at a very discounted price in this 1 month. The point I am trying to drive is the rarity of Krishna Bhakti. And in that Krishna Bhakti, there is most rarest is the Vraja Bhakti. And if we desire that, it is available in this 1 month. And I'll quote a short story from Padma Purana trying to highlight the glories of this Kartik Mass. So Prithu Maharaj is asking, Prithu Maharaj, this past time which we are in, so this comes also in the Padma Purana. Prithu Maharaj is asking Narad Muni, tell me Narad Muni that I have heard so much about this Kartik Mass. Tell me about the glories of Kartik Mass. And as soon as this Narad Muni hears about Kartik Mass, he is so happy. And then he tells about, I'll tell small story about Kartik. Then he tells about a person whose name is Mudgal. Now this Mudgal is different from the Mudgal Rishi that we see in Mahabharata. So this person, Mudgal, is so sinful, he's so sinful. He knows all the Shastras. But purposefully, just for sake of fun, he breaks all the rules and regulations that are given in these scriptures. And entire life this person has committed all kinds of sin. Eventually, he leaves his body, he goes back, he's taken to the court of Yamraj. And then Yamraj asks, Chitragupta, tell me what is his record. The Chitragupta says, my lord, he has done all kinds of sin. But there is only one thing that he has done. That during Kartik, he made a cow of sesame seed, til. That is called sesame seed. And he donated that cow made up of sesame seed. And he said, Om Krishnaya Arpanamastu. That is the only thing he has. And as soon as Yamaraj hears this, he becomes so furious, not on Mudgal, on the Yamduta. He says he is the most pious person in the creation. How could you bring him here? And he starts glorifying Mudgal. Why? Because he has taken the name of Lord Krishna in Kartik Mass. That is the glory of chanting just one name of Krishna in Kartik Mass. And then Narad Muni eventually starts telling the story. And he tells another story. Yeah, there was one Brahmana named Dharmadatta. And one day this Dharmadatta, he was a very pious Brahmana, worshipper of Lord Vishnu. And he was going during Kartik Mass for his daily worship of Lord Vishnu early in the morning. And what happened was, it was morning time, 3:30, 4 o'clock, Brahma Muhurat time. And during that time, what happened? One Rakshasi attacked him. And she was so fearsome that he became so scared. He couldn't figure out what to do. But he had the aarti plate in his hand. And that aarti plate had a lota, a water pot, which was filled with tulsi leaves for worship of Lord Vishnu. So in that rage of fear, he threw the whole pot on her, which contained tulsi. And as soon as the water mixed with tulsi hit her, she was purified of her sinful reaction. Actually, she was a ghost, which was ghost. And as soon as the tulsi leaves touched that ghostly body, she came to an understanding. She could realize that all her sins have now burned, and she could speak with Dharmadatta. And then she started begging to Dharmadatta, thank you so much. I can now speak to you. I am suffering so much. I am tormented by hunger, thirst, please help me, I'm in the worst of the situation. And then Dharmadatta asks, who are you? And she tells him that I was a Brahmani in my past, like my name was Kala. And I committed all sorts of wrong activities. I never respected my husband. I never fed him properly. I never respected any guest. I used to eat alone. I used to eat all sweet but never distributed. I never gave any charity. Whole life I did all wrong activities. And when my husband was tired with me because I didn't behave properly, he told me that I'm going to marry second time. And as soon as she heard that her husband is going to marry for the second time, she drank some poison and tried to commit suicide. But actually she committed suicide and she died. And then she became a ghost. And when she became a ghost, then she was taken to Yamraj. And she was taken to Yamraj. And Yamraj said, since you have committed all wrong activities in your life, and you have voluntarily given up before time your body, now you will have to take the body of a preet, a ghost, for 500 years. And after that you will enter 3 more species. You will become a bat, you will become a cat, and you will become a sheepig. And then you will enter the human body again. And that is when she says that, for so many years I am thirsty, I am hungry, I can't eat, I can't do anything, please save me from this. And Brahmadatta, then he realized that this lady is in a very precarious condition, so what he can do? She says, do some yajna for me, do something for me, some dana, some yajna, some tapa. She said, even if I do that for you in our preet yoni, you will not get, because your sins are too much. And when she starts begging, then he says, let me figure out what I can do for you. And there he comes to realization that I have to give the best of the strongest spiritual credits for her upliftment. And there he speaks out that whatever Kartik Vrat I have done, let half of that benefits, only half, not full, only half of that benefit be given to her. He takes water and just offers it to Lord Vishnu and gives all the credit to that Kala. And as soon as he chants that mantra and gives half of the credit of Kartik Mas, this Kala, who is in the body of a ghost, immediately takes a four-handed Vishnu form, and a Vaikuntha Viman comes there, and two people welcome her into that Vaikuntha Viman. Now she has taken a Vaikuntha Vasi form. And Dharmadatta, seeing this, is so struck with wonder. And now that Kala is leaving back to the Vaikuntha planet. But Dharmadatta is very amazed, and there are some questions that are going on in his mind. And the two Vaikuntha Vasis who have come to take Kala, they understand. So they ask, so the name of the two Vaikuntha Vasis who have come to pick up this lady was Punyashil and Sushil. So this Punyashil and Sushil, now they ask Dharmadatta that you seem to be confused. Do you have any question in your mind? Then he says, yes, I want to ask some questions. He said, yes, please go ahead. And then Brahmadatta is asking that this lady has been so sinful that she was in a Preta Yoni. But how come it is that she is going before me? Then these two Vaikuntha Vasis say, don't fear, you will also go back. It is exclusively because of your credits that she has been taken to the spiritual world. It is only because of your mercy. Don't feel that you are not qualified. You are highly qualified. And because of your credit, she is now going back to the spiritual world. So then he asks, what credit did she get that she is getting all these facilities? Then he says, all the Kartik Vrat, whatever snan you did in the different Punya Kshetras in Kartik, the Kartik snan you did, half of the credit that you gave her destroyed all her sins. He says, okay, just by that Kartik snan, all her sins are of so many multi-million, hundreds and thousands of lifetimes are burned. Yes, only Kartik snan. Okay, what else? What else Vrata I did in Kartik? He says, all the Hari Jagran. Hari Jagran means during night time, those who exclusively do some Harinam Sankirtan or chant extra rounds, that is called Hari Jagran. Or Mangalarti is also called Hari Jagran, because when the world is asleep, you are awake for the pleasure of Lord Hari. That is called Hari Jagran. Just because of the Hari Jagran that you did during your Kartik Mass, we were forced to bring the Vaikuntha Viman for her. Just by that Hari Jagran or the Mangalarti Darshan benefit, half benefit you get, that forced us to bring Vaikuntha Viman. Okay, then what next? He says, all the Deepadan you did, half the credit of offering lamp to Lord Vishnu in Kartik Mass, she became qualified to enter the spiritual world just by the lamp offering to Lord Vishnu in Kartik Mass. Half benefit, qualified to enter spiritual world. Okay, what else? All the Tulsi Puja that you did during the Kartik Mass, she will get Samipya. Samipya means she will be staying very close, always staying close to Lord Vishnu. She will get Samipya Mukti. Okay, what else I did? Namasmaran. All the names, holy names of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna you chanted during this Kartik Mass, she will get a name as Jai in Vaikuntha. So she will be named Jai. She got a name, new name, Jai in Vaikuntha. And when Brahmadatta understands, my God, Kartik Snan and Kartik Hari Jagran and Kartik Deepadan and Kartik Tulsi Puja and Kartik Naam Smaran, just by giving half the benefit, this person is getting qualified to enter and stay close to Lord Vishnu. See the greatness of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He has given us this, not only in Kartik, He has given all these things to us on a daily basis. We don't have to wait for Kartik. Of course, Kartik is the topmost of Vrata. Anybody who has done Ganesh Puja, anybody who has done Shiv Puja, anybody who has done Durga Puja, Kartik Puja, any Kartike Puja, but if they are not doing Kartik Mass, they will not be entitled to get the benefit of the puja they have offered to the demigods. Without Kartik Vrat, nobody is entitled to get the total fruits of their Upasana. So Kartik Mass is compulsory Upasana for getting the benefit of demigod Upasana. And then the Vaikuntha Vasi says, now that you have done all this, now you will enjoy a long life here with your two wives, and after that you will come to Vaikuntha and stay there for a long time. And after your long time in Vaikuntha is over, you will come back again here with your two wives, and this lady, Kalaha, will come as your third wife, and you will become the king of Ayodhya, and your name will be Dasharath. And these three ladies will become Kausalya, Sumitra, and Kalaha will become Kaikai, because she already had this previous bad background. So Kaikai will be your third wife, because since you have given half your credits, and a wife is always entitled for half the credits of husband, so she will become your third wife, and then you will become a great king here. And this is the topmost vrata that you have done. But still he feels, though, please tell me, is Kartik the only topmost vrata? Then this Punyashil and Sushil, they tell him another story. That hear this story properly. So they tell him a story that there was a king of Kanchipuram whose name was Chola, and in his kingdom was a Brahmana, poor Brahmana named Vishnudas. So once when this Chola king was offering worship to Lord Vishnu, he used to offer gorgeous gold, silver, pearls, rubies, emeralds, all this to Lord Vishnu. And one day after his worship was over in Vishnu temple, this Vishnudas, he came there and he started offering tulsi and chandan and flowers. And what happened? All his flowers he had got from Lord Vishnu covered the worship paraphernalia of this Chola king. So as soon as the king saw that all my worship paraphernalia has been covered, he became so angry. He said, what, you poor Brahmana? You bought your Tulsi Puja and all your flower Puja. It's all useless. I'm the king and I'm offering such great articles for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Then this Vishnudas, poor Brahmana, he said, see, Lord Vishnu is Bhakti Priya. He is more pleased with the Bhakti, the devotion. He is not he doesn't want your gorgeous worship or your yagya or your dana or your tapa. He is behind Bhakti. So king becomes very angry. He says, if you say so, now let's have a competition. who can please lord vishnu, you do your devotional stuff and I'll do my yagya. I'll do the biggest yagya, dana, tapa, everything I'll do and I'll please. Let's see who can please Lord Vishnu first. They say, okay. Immediately the king goes and he brings Mudgal Rishi. This is another Mudgal Rishi from Mahabharat, and tells him to become his Purohit and says, make a biggest of the yagya. I want to please Lord Vishnu before that Brahmana Vishnu Das. And continuous yagya is going on, lot of charity and tapasya is happening, everything. On the other side, Vishnu Das is simply doing his Kartik Vrat. Offering tulsi, offering flowers, chanting extra name, taking snan, offering lamp, small activities. But he's doing it continuously. And one day, what happens? He offers, and he's taking one meal a day, one meal, that too in the evening. And evening he offers his meal, and what happens? All of a sudden, when he goes to bring back that offering plate, he sees that his plate is missing. He feels that if I cook again, I'll miss my time. So it is better I don't cook again, I just start my sadhana. And he goes, next day again he's hungry, evening he cooks. Second day also, after he offers, he goes to take that plate and the plate is missing. For 6 consecutive days, the plate is missing. 7th day, he feels that if I don't eat, I may have to leave my body. So better is I see who takes this plate. And he offers his plate on the 7th day. And he sees, he's hiding. And when it is time to remove the plate, he sees that there is a chandal who is stealing his plate. And immediately, as soon as he sees the chandal, chandal sees him. And chandal starts walking fast, he starts running. But when Mudgal Rishi sees the chandal, he sees he's so slim, there is no flesh on his body, it's all bone and skin, he feels so bad. He feels, it's better I die but feed him, he's such a poor person. And he says, why? And he starts running behind him, carrying with him some ghee. Ghee for whom? He's telling the chandal, why you want to eat such dry food? You take this ghee. So he's running with the ghee cup. But the chandal feels that he is trying to chase him, so he starts running and he is so weak that he falls. And the plate he is carrying also falls, all the prasadam is gone. And when he falls, the chandala falls, and Brahma Datta feels so bad that because of me this person has to go through such difficulty. And the chandala is now become unconscious, and in that unconscious state, this Brahmana, Vishnu Das, he is fanning him with his cloth. Can you imagine? He is hungry from 7 days, he hasn't got angry till now, and he is feeling bad about the person who has stolen his food, and now on top of that he is feeling so sad that he has fallen because of me, and now he is fanning him. And when the Lord sees that this person, he is such sense controlled and he is such forgiving, immediately the chandala turns into Lord Vishnu and he embraces Vishnu Das. And immediately takes Vishnu Das with him. And when this news reaches the Chola king, he feels so bad. He tells his priest, Mudgal Rishi, what kind of a priest? He has already reached spiritual world and I am still here. But he feels bad that Brahmana has at least reached to the spiritual world. Then he prays to Lord Vishnu that please allow also me, because I don't want to stay here. Take me to a place where I can constantly remember you in a happy mood. And he jumps into the sacrificial fire. And as soon as he jumps into the sacrificial fire, Lord Vishnu picks him, he captures him and embraces him. And he saves him and takes him back to the spiritual world. And when the two Vaikunthavasis, Punyashil and Sushil, are now telling this katha to whom? They were telling this katha to Dharmadatta Brahman. Because he was worried that Kala is going and I am not going. And next question he had, that which is the topmost vrat. And then Punyashil and Sushil tells him that, do you know whose story is this? They tell him that this is our story. This Punyashil, the Vaikuntha Vasi, is the same Brahmana, and I, Sushil, I am the king, Chola king. This Brahmana Punyashil, he performed the Kartik Vrat, and that is why immediately Lord Vishnu took him with him. So if you want to come to a conclusion which is the topmost of the vrat, then this is the Kartik vrat And Krishna, when he comes in the form of a date or a month, that is called as Tithi. And this is the same Kartik Mass that we worship at the topmost of all the Vratas. And today is Radhakund appearance day. Means Kartik in itself is the topmost. It can give you any benefit and any benediction that you want. On top, it is the Radhakund appearance day. Kartik is Radharani's favorite month. And in that today we have this Radhakund appearance day, which is not different from Radharani. And there is one Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava that is written by Mahadev, which he glorifies Srimati Radharani before his wife Mata Durga Parvati. And in that he has glorified Srimati Radharani in the best of the and choicest of the world. It is called Stava Raj. It is the topmost of the Stava. And that is Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava. So most of the Vrajvasis, they sing this Kripa Kataksha Stava today. And Lord Shiva is giving the benediction that if anybody chants this 108 times, then he will get all his desires fulfilled. And if anybody chants standing in Radha Kunda 108 times, if he chants this Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava, he will personally have darshan of Srimati Radharani. So that is the greatness of this stava. So let's all pray to Srimati Radharani that the Vraj Bhakti, which is so rare, we will also get it someday by her mercy. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Very, very nice. Very wonderful class. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Nice to describe about it. What do you call it? Radha Kunda. And Radha Rani. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. It was a very beautiful class with a lot of examples and stories, a lot to think about. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Excellent.
Thank you.
So I just had a very, maybe not very important, but just a small question. So you were talking about the person who drank milk from Parvati and became a Vaishnava. Wasn't he a Shaiva throughout?
His father was worshipper of Lord Shiva. But the Stala Purana says that he became a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu just because he got the mercy of Srimati Durga Devi in the form of her Mahaprasad milk.
Is there a reference to the name Prabhu by any chance?
Yes, this story comes in South India. I exactly don't remember a place. But there is a temple of Mata Parvati and Lord Shiva. Where this Brahmana used to stay, and the priest, he tells this, he told us this story. I exactly don't remember the place, but it is there in South India. South India, yeah.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Class was very wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for explaining Shishi Kartik Mas Mahatmam and especially Shishi Radha Gunda and Shishi Radha Kataksh, who sing one exhort in front of Shishi Radha Gunda. Prabhuji, we are staying abroad. So can we do a Mansi Puja of Shishi?
Yes, yes, ma'am. That is always considered. Yes, Mansi Puja is always considered.
Is it accepted by Shishida, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani?
Yes, yes, ma'am. It is always, that facility is always there. Because Krishna has said, even Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that you should engage your mind in me. For a person who is not physically, who is not able to be there physically, on mental level, it is always considered, and you can get the same benefits.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was Param. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for wonderful class. By your eyes, we enter in Sridham Vrindavan Dham. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful. Yeah, very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and very nice narration of the stories and very nice examples, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mother.
Hare Krishna. If there are no more questions, we can end now. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. प्रभुपाद की जय. श्री रुद्राश्रीमद भागवतम की जय. इस ग्रेस कुमार गौर प्रभु की जय.
जय.